When one event is taken to be an example of all events, the truth is turned into a false situation with serious consequences for both sides, actually. In America, we've come to a point, for some, where when one black suspect is shot by white police, it's quickly declared part of the war on the black population before the facts are even known. This has given rise to the Black Lives Matter movement, whose mistaken beliefs have created a situation where many in the black community are motivated to resist police, thus creating dangerous confrontations. My next guest today joins us with the result of a report which addresses the racial accusations against police with, of all things, the facts. Novel idea, I know. He is the president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, best-selling author of his latest book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies, John Arlott. Thank you for being here today, Professor Arlott.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
CrimePreventionResearchCenter.org. You can see this report and the other work of the center. And the report is entitled, Do White Police Officers Unfairly Target Black Suspects, which obviously gives the purpose of the study. But the devil's always in the mechanics of any study and poll, because you can lighten the load and manipulate ideas and numbers. So as far as the mechanics of the study, what did you seek to use as your basis to arrive at your presentation and your conclusion?
Well, what we did was we tried to look at all the shootings by police over a three-year period from 2013 through 2015. What we found was that the FBI data was missing about half of the shootings that were occurring there. There were 2,699 shootings over those 3 years, but the FBI only had data on 1,366 of those. And what we had done was we tried to initially identify shootings by looking at news stories. And then once we identified those, we tried to kind of fill in data or information on the race of the officers, as well as the race of the victims, gender, whether the person was involved in a crime when they were shot, what type of crime was it, whether they were armed, information like that, by using things like Freedom of Information Act requests to get information on the case, as well as for things like the race of the officer, getting a hold of photos from the police department to try to identify the individual officers there. So it was a lot of work to do what we did there. And but once we got that together, we'd want to go and see, for example, the rate that black officers shot black suspects, how did that compare to the rate that white officers shot black suspects? After you try to account for things like the demographics of the city, the demographics of the police department. And what we found was that black police officers tended to shoot black suspects at higher rates than white police officers shot black suspects.
Which runs counter. I mean, if you do a Google search, for example, list of blacks shot by cops, I think the most common stat you find is the white population makes up 62%, but only 49% of those are killed by police officers. Black population, 24%, are shot by police officers, one being only 13% of the population. So, like I said in the introduction, those generalities paint the different picture versus the specifics that your study presents.
Right. Well, I mean, you have most of the shooting of black suspects occur in urban areas where you have high crime rates, and that tends to also be where you have high percentages of the population are black in those areas. But, you know, as I said, we're trying to account for not only the local demographics of the city, but also the demographics of the police department, just to see whether or not black officers are more or less likely to go and shoot black suspects than white officers are. And we find fairly consistently that they are. Black officers are more likely to shoot, and that kind of goes against the normal racial claims that people have.
Well, plus your report includes the environment, as you said, high crime area. So shootings overall of suspects are going to be more frequent in a Detroit, for example, versus, let's say, a Boulder, Colorado.
Right. I mean, there are shootings that you see all over the country. One of the big things that we found that you can do to reduce the rate of shootings is to have more officers in a patrol unit. If you have two officers there on the scene, you have about a little bit less than 20% lower probability of shootings than if you only have one officer in a patrol unit. I think there are a lot of things that are going on there. One can be that when you have multiple officers, the suspects are less likely to misbehave. They're less likely to challenge the officer. They're less likely to try to escape, because two officers mean that they're less successful in doing those things. When you have multiple officers, if something does happen, the officer themselves can rely more on physical strength to try to take care of a situation than using a weapon. Because they have the second officer to help them.
Well, you have two sets of eyes. One could see another possibly starting to overreact or react wrongly and slam the brakes on the situation before something really goes wrong.
Right. I mean, you also have the issue of kind of witnesses there, too. It may be harder to go and hide something that you've done wrong if you have multiple officers. But one of the interesting things is that body cameras or cameras on vehicles don't seem to matter in terms of the rate of shootings. You have the same rate of shootings no matter whether body cameras are employed or not.
Well, wasn't that an initial fear with the spread of the body cameras that it would make police reluctant to properly respond in an aggressive situation, thereby placing police more at risk? So in a way, isn't that good news that they have no influence on how events unfold?
I think it is good news. I mean, the Obama administration's been spending a lot of money to try to study body cameras and to try to force police departments to implement them under the notion that shining a light on secret policing practices will cause them to do the right thing. And so the implication from the Obama administration is that will lower the rate of shootings because they believe that there's systematic racism that's going on with regard to police. But as you say, the fact that we're not seeing a change in their behavior kind of mitigates against that claim.
So John R. Lotz, who is president of the Crime Prevention Research Center, on the web is crimepreventionresearchcenter.org, and also the author of books, including his latest, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. And you are listening to Issues and Ideas.
You can find us at crimeresearch.org. You don't need to have the whole name.
Oh, okay.
Crimeresearch.org.
And you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As I said in the introduction, Black Lives Matter, at least in my opinion, is creating a lot of the potential for hostile confrontations on the black population side of the equation with their inserting race into law enforcement. Is that a legitimate fear and concern that is being overlooked by too many?
Right. Well, I mean, one of the big concerns that you have is that if they alienate blacks improperly from police, then black victims will be less likely to go and report crimes to police. Crimes then will be less likely to be solved. And to the extent that it makes it so that committing a crime against blacks is less risky, you'll see more crime in those areas. So there's a real potential downside for them exaggerating or incorrectly making people fearful of police officers. And, you already have high crime rates in poor black areas, and to have that be higher, the very people that you say you're concerned about will be the victims of that.
And the report, do white police officers unfairly target black suspects? It does, as Mr. Lott has presented here, and as I said in the introduction, it takes the race out of the picture and puts the statistics and the facts into the picture for the complete, honest, and truthful picture that will hopefully lead to some solutions versus the the unfortunate loss of lives that we see in a variety of situations for a variety of reasons. You can't cookie cutter one shooting into another and try to draw a string between them. And to learn more about this issue, as well as other points of focus of the Crime Prevention Research Center, crimeresearchcenter.org. Learn more about, in light of a recent event, too, at the in Ohio University about gun-free zones. That's one of the reasons why the War on Guns, Army of Self-Against Gun Control lies, is empowerment, because Professor Lott does provide the facts and the reality of what is, unfortunately, a situation that is placed into a false debate when logic just really brings you to a fast, more intelligent conclusion, which he does with his writings all through his career. Professor Lott, thanks as always for being here today.
I greatly appreciate your time again. Thank you very much.